Hey, we're your hosts, Alina
and April. Some of the stories we tell are fun and interesting,
but some of the subject matter is downright disturbing. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Screams from below.
Hey, listeners, we are back for another fun, creepy story this week. Before we get started, though, just wanted to remind you to continue to help us grow by hitting like, share on our social media.
Also, head on over, give us a 5-star rating on Apple if you could. We love and appreciate you guys so much.
So how was your week?
It was kind of uneventful, but it's been so damn hot here.
Oh, my God, it's so hot.
It's melting out. I mean, literally, it went from like 35 degrees snowing
to 95
and like rain
in a matter of one day. Yeah. That's the thing about the Midwest, though. You've got to be prepared to dress for every single season in one week.
You can't put your winter clothes away.
Right. I know. I had to wear a sweatshirt the other morning. And then so then I put it on to take my son to school the next morning. And it was hot as hell. I was sweating in my car. I was like, oh, my God. And then you know how you're getting up. Because we get up like at 5:15, right, okay, to get ready for school and then take them and everything. So, you know, so I'm just throwing clothes on real quick. I'm not like showering, getting ready because I've just got to go drop them off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I had that sweatshirt on and I didn't put any pit stick on. I was like, oh, my God, I'm sweating. I was like, coming into shower as soon as I get home.
You were going for the Bridgerton
exactly.
scent.
Oh, man, it was real. I was like, oh, I hate that feeling when you feel like sticky, you know? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How was your week?
It was good. It was just like same thing. It was so freaking hot. And then, we did a lot of planting in the garden and stuff like that. And I'm still on my escapade to like, you know, get everything blocked off on all my fencing, you know, and stuff. So
we don't want to see the neighbors.
I know, it's so funny. I was like, they probably think, bitch, you know. But I'm just like, I just like to have privacy, yeah. You know, and that's my thing. I deal with people all week long. I don't want to have to stare at them, and you know, I'm so tired by the weekend. I just want to sit out there and listen to music and write, and you know, just be zen.
Yeah.
I can't be zen when I'm looking at, you know, all the different things or whatever. So
you know, and I think I'm pretty lucky because I got like old people that live next to me on both sides.
Yeah. Well, we used to, but they died off. So now they're younger people.
Well, I mean, these people aren't like old. They're probably like, you know, mom and dad's age, like 60s.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they never come outside, you know. But the one weird thing I find is that there is this family across, like on the other side of the street, like 5 houses up. And they have kids, mm-hmm. and they're school age kids, but these kids are always outside, like during the day.
So they homeschool?
They ain't doing no homeschooling.
They're outside too much.
Kids are outside all day.
Really?
They are outside all day. Like they are never inside. Like since even in the snow. They were riding their sleds down the icy street.
They were down the middle of the street?
Yeah.
That's a good street. It's very hilly, but I'd be afraid like to not stop.
Well, there's no traffic because it's a dead end.
Oh, that's true. I forgot.
You know, so, I mean.
Do you remember when we used to go sledding when we first moved to Kansas City, we were in an apartment complex and we'd sled down a big hill and there was like a freaking fence at the end that we'd crash into. Yeah. It was like, oh my God. That's the only way we stopped.
Face, you know.
Oh my God. So anyhow, did you like, you know, watch anything cool or what'd you do?
You know, I started I've been kind of going through like all the platforms, you know, that we pay for and stuff, and
actually trying to catch up.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so you know, all my shows are coming to an end, so like I watch like This Is Us and you know,
I'm like the only person on earth that cannot stand that show.
Really?
It drives me crazy.
You don't like Mandy Moore, though.
No, I love Mandy Moore.
Oh,
yeah, I actually met her a concert one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And but as nicest person ever. I mean, I love her. I just, it's like so much fucking drama. Like right. they can't, they never have a happy moment. Even their happy moments are like sad. And I'm right. like, dude, like, yeah. it's just, I don't know. I just get on my nerves. I mean, I love like, dramas,
yeah.
but that one is just too much. It's like, woe is me, everybody. It's like, God, you know?
Yeah. Like I'm a good looking actor and I can't find love.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's probably because you're a dick.
You know? In real life, too, right. apparently. No, just kidding, supposedly. I don't know.
Like, I don't know. That
he's mole, fine, though.
That mole bothers me.
Oh, his mole is, yeah.
So I started watching this series called Evil.
I love Evil. Yeah, it's so good. If you guys haven't seen it and you've got Paramount, that's what it streams on, which used to be CBS yeah. or whatever. But it's such a good show. I mean, like, I can't even think of where the woman's from. The priest or the guy that's becoming a priest or whatever, mm-hmm. he's Luke Cage. He's the guy who plays Luke Cage.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then I don't know what the girl's been in though. I can't think of. But it's such a great combination.
She looks familiar, but yeah. I think she's a no name.
I don't know
honestly because I've never seen her yeah. in anything.
So what'd you think?
But you know, I got through the first like two episodes, but I was watching it with my friend and so they were like. Yeah, I'm not into this. And I was like, well, if you're not into it, I'm not going to finish watching it. I'll watch it on my own.
Yeah, so. that ruins it when you're listening. You're like, yeah. what's wrong with you?
Well, and then, you know, the kids are like bothering.
Yeah.
It's like when I watch stuff, it has to be late at night, which I can't do late nights anymore because I'm old, A. And because, you know, I'm starting a new job.
You got a fancy-ass job, yeah, man. So, yay! Congrats yeah, on that.
Thank you.
Maybe now you can pay for some of this podcasting equipment, bitch.
I'm on a budget. I have
I've been
kids.
Floating you for 3 years, okay?
I told you I'm on a budget. I have three kids. I can't
do anything. I'm just kidding.
So it's kind of difficult for me to watch anything because it's like I will watch like 2 minutes and then it's interrupted and I gotta pause yeah. it. And then in the years I watch another 2 minutes, they come in. So I'm with my fancy new job and buy myself a damn TV for my bedroom.
You still haven't gotten that?
No, and I'm buy a lock for my bedroom too. Lock that thing.
Well, I'm telling you, Evil's really good. You gotta go back yeah. and finish it. It's two seasons in. Because the third season will start this fall. But it's they do a really good job. And what it is for those of you who haven't watched it, it's a woman who's a psychologist. The Vatican comes and asks her to help. But what they're trying to determine is they're trying to weed out the crazies that are asking for what's it going to call it?
Exorcisms.
Yeah. So they're trying to weed out the people that don't really need them as opposed to the people who do. Right. And so they're trying to figure out who the fakers are.
But it's like anything paranormal, really. Like
right. The crazy thing is that the devil's in play.
Right.
So, I mean, like the real life devil, you know, right. and stuff. And it's right. crazy. It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Well, my friend was like, when we were watching the first, like, I think it was the second episode and the demon shows up yeah. and he's like, my name's George. And he's like, man, what kind of demon's name is George? I'm like, I guess you wouldn't forget that, you know, like
the one that's not, says, they don't yeah. like to come up and be like, I'm Lucifer, right, you know, it's like,
right. or, you know, all these fancy names. Yeah. Like, I can't remember what name that is, you know, whatever. Exactly. So I think it's either a V or a C or,
yeah.
So, and then I did start watching, yet again, couldn't get through it because the kids. The new one with Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock.
Oh, The Lost City. Yeah, that was great. I saw that in the movie theater. It was yeah, so funny.
So,
wait, how far did you get?
Like, I'm like halfway through it.
Oh, yeah. And it's hard to watch with kids because it's so funny. You got to catch all the jokes and everything like that. Yeah. Right. So you need to start it over.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, that's crazy.
How about you? What did you watch?
I watched a couple movies. There was nothing really good. I was folding laundry and like food prepping while watching, you know, so it didn't bother me that I was wasting time because I was still doing other stuff. So you did send me that video footage, though, of the screams from hell that supposedly happened back like in Siberia. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that in a minute. But first, you know, did you work out this week? Because I know we need to get back to trying out classes and we still haven't done it. And so, you know, I don't know what... you know, we need to try.
I did not work out.
You did not work out.
I worked my fork out. Eating. Because, there's a crumble cookie that just opened by our house.
Oh, geez. Those are good. But they're so pricey. I'm like, I can't justify, what it cost or whatever like right. that. So, but yeah. Other than that, though, I did. So I started fasting go along with mine, and I've lost, you know, pounds or whatever. But I'm telling you, I gotta say, it's rough some mornings. So like one morning, I woke up so early that I was like, I still got 3 hours before I can eat. I was like, oh, hell no. I freaking took 2 Benadryl, knocked my ass out because I knew I couldn't sit up. And I was like, let me knock myself out. So I woke up like 5 minutes before I could eat. You know, I was like, perfect. I'll prep now. I was dying laughing at myself. I was like, oh, my God, what a, you know, dork. And then the other morning, I was at work, and you know, our dad's our boss. I was talking to him while I was and my alarm went off that I could eat. I was like, I gotta go, I'll call you right back, it's time for me to eat. He was like, what? So I go, I grab my food, and I come back, and he calls me again to talk about something, and I start choking. He's like, you better slow down, I know you're hungry, but damn.
That sounds like the conversation we had, because you're like, oh man, you know, I'm eating, and I was like, okay. And it was like an hour later, and I call you back, and you're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, are you still eating? And you're like,
I was like, I'm trying to eat slow so I fill up more, you know. And so it's like, and then the other day I ate like a late lunch, like at 3, and my cutoff time is 5:45.
Oh shit.
And or you know, sometimes 6 o'clock, and I completely forgot to eat dinner because I got so busy at work and everything like that. And I was like, oh shit. So I'm like downing like all the tea and water. So of course I was up all night watching TV and stuff, but I was trying to stay full. I'm like, I'll get it down. Well, okay, so let's get to today's story. We're talking about the Well to Hell, which is a story that came out of Siberia in the early 1990s, and April sent me this recording that is supposedly what the scientist recorded when they sent a microphone down. And the microphone was like some special microphone that could do heat and stuff like that. You know, it could withstand all the heat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to turn this down, you can. Or if you want to listen to it, go for it. I'm going to play it for you real quick. And then you guys, you know, can decide for yourself whether you think it's real or not. And then we'll kind of go into the story afterwards, okay? So that is supposedly a cleaned up recording that they got from this experience. Now, it's been debunked supposedly, you know, but there's scientists that say no, you know, or like there's people that say no, my dad was there, you know, stuff like that. Okay. So there really is no, to me, it doesn't sound believable. I don't know about to you. I don't know what you think. But, I mean, when we were little, we used to try and dig a hole to China. Remember that? Like, remember that?
Why to China?
I don't know. It was just the thing. Yeah. and so, but.
Is China on the other side of the, like, globally? Directly on the other side of us?
Probably. That's probably why who knows? Or we were just, you know, stupid kids. All the kids did it. And so anyhow, but yeah, I don't know. I could see them getting some kind of recording, but to me that doesn't sound like. Yeah. Well, but I guess I don't know. I mean, it could sound like people in agony.
What does hell sound like?
I don't know. I'll let you know when I get there.
But you know, there's people that have actually said that they've experienced.
Yeah.
You know, hell, that they have experienced, you know, death and dying, and a lot of times that's, you know, what they describe the same thing a lot of times. So, but this particular story, the legend was out of, was about a team of Russian geologists. So when they drilled, it was said 8.9 miles into the hole, into the permafrost. And it was in apparently a remote like region of Siberia. And so they say that when they were about to enter the 9 mile point, like their drill started to spin real crazy. And this is, apparently I'm not a geologist, but this is an indication that their drill had broken into a large area. So the person who has been identified only as Mr. Azdakov was said to be the manager of the project. He made the decision to lower several heat-resistant microphones into the hole, along with like different measuring tools. So the surprise, you know, to the surprise of the geologists, the temperatures in the hole measured about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And I don't know without Celsius, because we're the only ones who measure in Fahrenheit.
My thing is, how much heat do you think our podcasting microphones get old?
We'll put it outside and it'll probably melt. Summer. Yeah. So the microphones returned what they were astounded by, which was the sounds of wailing human voices. So that led the scientists to make like an uncomfortable like guess about like what the center of the Earth is really made of. Apparently it's hell. So, you know, they believed that, you know, at least to this point, so, you know, the earth was partially hollow, and, but they had drilled into hell itself. So it said that a lot of the scientists like quit their jobs. They left the site. On-site medics like treated the rest of like the scientists there with mild sedatives to erase their short-term memories.
And but see, like, I don't think sedatives would erase their memories. I mean, you know, that just kind of takes the edge off.
I should try. I try to forget some shit. So this is said to help explain why the story didn't instantly become front page news. And so, like, that's their explanation. In 2002, Art Bell of Coast to Coast AM got a copy of the recordings from like one of his listeners, and it included a message that was just like, hey, you know, I was listening to your show and like couldn't believe that, you know, you talked about the sounds from hell. My uncle has told me the story a couple times a few years ago, and I didn't believe him. So like, you know, he said what, like one of like the other listeners, he discounted the story, like it was nothing more than just a hoax, a religious fabrication, and you know, the story of the digging and the hearing of the sounds from hell, you know, he says is real, and it did happen in Siberia. So he's saying that his uncle collected videos on the paranormal and supernatural, but he had passed away. So his uncle
had kept all of that, the videos and the recordings and everything?
So he had let him listen to one of the audio tapes that he had from Siberia. And then he copied it. So he sent his friend, who worked at the BBC, I guess, you know, an attachment of the sound from his uncle's tapes. And, you know, you can't deny that the audio is pretty disturbing, you know. Mm-hmm. But, that leads us to the problems of the story, you know. Mm-hmm. So first it says like there was never such a geological expedition, you know, into Siberia that did this. So it says there was a similar project in the Kola Peninsula, which is located in northwestern Russia, but that project was titled the Kola Super Deep Borehole. And that's a nice name. And it was like a tame, you know, kind of expedition. Like scientists, they did drill a deep hole, but they didn't find anything, you know, they didn't hear anything. So, but what they were examining was mineral resources. They tested new types of drilling equipment, and they actually just like won bragging rights for their country, you know? Hmm. So every geologist wanted to work on the deepest hole in the world. But at some point, like they say like 1989 or so, someone wrote a fictionalized version of the Well to Hell story, and that circulated among Christian publications in the U.S.
So they were trying to scare
right
people so, straight right into church, into the pews.
Exactly. So it eventually reached Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. We all know TBN. where the editors decided to run the story with the title, Scientists Discover Hell.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's okay. So that's more believable, is that the church was trying to scare people into right. coming and asking for forgiveness.
Exactly.
And giving their money for the week of their tithing. Right. Well, you know, though, there are people who claim that they have been to hell and right. back, like they died and that's where they went, mm-hmm. but they were pulled back in when they were resuscitated and stuff like that. So there's different stories. Mm. So, like, I have one about a guy in 1998. His name was Bill Weiss. He's actually the author of a book called 23 Minutes in Hell, and he says he had an experience that would alter the course of his life forever. Bill says that, and he's a devout Christian, but he says he was plunged into hell, and all he did was say that there was horrifying sights, smells, and sounds. And he said he felt like feeling like he was falling a long time down a dark tunnel, long mm-hmm. tunnel, he found himself in like a dark, dirty prison. And he shares that there was an intense heat that seemed too hot, you know, to survive. Mm-hmm. And he was okay, but it was hot, scary. And then it smelled really foul like. And then there were two creatures in the cell with him, he says.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm. And during this time in hell, which he says lasted exactly 23 minutes from when he died and came back, mm-hmm. you know, he experienced like lots of horrors, including torture, intense darkness, raging pit of fire, screaming, the foul odors he talked about, and different levels of torment. That's so crazy. He said, like, while he was down there going through all this, suddenly he just sees a bright light and felt himself rising out of the tunnel real quickly. The same tunnel he had gone down that looked dark going down, it was light going up. After this experience, he said he knew his life calling was to share the experience with the world, to, you know, give everybody a glimpse of like that hell is real, you need to behave, right. you know. So anyway,
and write a book and go on a tour.
Exactly. And now he has an outreach ministry. Right. You know? Mm-hmm. So anyhow, and so I mean, there's just tons of, you know, different.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So I have a story. His name was Reverend Kenneth Hagin. He was born and raised in a Christian family. Aren't they all?
Mm-hmm.
So Reverend Hagin experienced hell at the age of 15 in a near-death experience, which he came from a chronic heart condition. So he had like a heart attack. So he titled his book called I Believe in Visions, where he shares his experience with hell. Unlike Mr. Weiss, Kenneth Hagin's experience began when his heart ceased to beat. So he recalled the feeling of numbness spreading through his body. In his book, he recounted his experience as descending down into a pit, like you'd go down into a well, cavern, or cave, and you continue to descend. He went down feet first. He could look up and see a light, but it finally faded away. So darkness encompassed him, and then it was like blacker than any night any man had ever seen. So Hagin shares many of his descriptions of hell similar to others, including intense darkness, unbearable heat, strange creatures, and great flames of fire. Fortunately for Mr. Hagin, his doctors were able to save him from a seemingly inevitable death. He continued to serve God into his adult years, pastoring Rema Bible Church and founding Kenneth Hagin Ministries.
Another ministry, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, so I found another person that says they went. His name is Matthew Botsford. And unlike the other two that we just talked about, Matthew was not a Christian by any means. And so, but he had his near-death experience, and he says he went to hell. He was actually shot in the head. And doctors decided to put him in like a medically induced coma so they could try and save his life.
Oh, man.
He was in the coma for 27 days. And he described, when he finally came out of it, he describes that his experience was utter blackness, incredible fear. He said it was, you could tell it was void of anything good. Like you just had that feeling. And he said it was beyond anything any words could describe. There's like no, you know, he just remembers like terrifying creatures, torment, profound isolation, you know. So anyhow, well, you know, once he recovered, he gave his life over to God. You know, he got scared enough, I guess.
Did he make a ministry?
Nope, no ministry. That we know of.
So the next one is Sister Faustina. In one of the earliest recorded experiences of hell, Sister Faustina, a Polish nun, shares similar sentiments to like the other individuals that we've been talking about. While it's really unclear whether Sister Faustina's experience was a vision or a near-death encounter, she describes hell as endless torment, impenetrable darkness, and a terrible, suffocating smell. I keep seeing that they're smelling something.
Right.
You know?
Like sulfur.
Sulfur.
Mm-hmm. That's what you think, because that's what we've been told.
So when you're farting, you're getting rid of demons? If it smells like sulfur.
No, that... my demons like to stay. Yeah, so.
Your demons like to come out.
Like, I know when I burp.
They tried to come up to the penthouse. They ain't trying to go through the basement.
Oh my God. Okay, but real quick, if a nun's not safe from going to hell,
right?
Nobody, like, you know, come on, people, think about it. Like, if a nun says she has seen hell as well, I mean, that's kind of.
But in the same token, like, I was reading a thing about a nun who had supposedly immaculately conceived her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And then her daughter was raised in the nunnery and became a nun, and she immaculately conceives a child.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't hear anything about that child. But they are mummified and on display in this church, and... the Catholic Church will not allow any DNA testing.
Well, yeah, because they don't want it to get out who the priest was. Right. We saw thorn birds. Like
that priest was fine.
Thorn birds. That shit's old. Only the older people are gonna get that reference.
Well, it was like soft porn for Sunday night, you know.
Sunday night movie of the week back in the day.
It was 4 weeks.
It was. You had to wait. There was no streaming back then, so you had to wait those 7 days to find out what happened.
Right.
Yep. That was good stuff. Good stuff back in the day.
Spoiler alert, she sleeps with the priest.
So stupid. Well, there's another guy named Ian McCormick. So he said his near-death experience to hell began with an encounter with a deadly jellyfish. So he got stung and then had to go to the hospital. And when he arrived at the hospital, he was pronounced dead. They couldn't find a pulse. So
did he not pee on himself fast enough?
Yeah, exactly. That's why you always take somebody with you to the beach. But he says, like, when he was down there, all he felt was darkness. He said there was something else there in the shadows, but he couldn't see what it was. And he said he felt this cold, like, eerie feeling, like somebody just kept staring at him, but it never came into, you know, focus or into his sight, but he knew something was there the whole time.
That's the worst, though.
Yeah, like, when you can't see it, like, I'd rather see it than anyway, so he said he, like, dropped to his knees and prayed in desperation and was asking to be saved from the darkness. And then he said he saw this bright light, and he believes that God allowed him to decide whether he would return to earth or heaven. Ian wished to return to earth to share a story with those who did not know God. So Ian left the hospital the day following the accident, which is kind of weird to me. He was pronounced dead and you let him go the next day? He must have had shitty insurance. Like,
no, like, I know. That's crazy. I know someone, they got shot right here in their nose, went out through there, through their skull.
Wait, okay, you can't say through there. Our listeners can't see you.
No, I said through their nose.
Through their nose, up their bridge.
Yeah, up the bridge of their nose. Out, like, it went through their skin and their, like, between their eyebrows and came out.
Ooh.
And they let them out of the hospital the next day.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I just heard that story the other day.
My husband and I have such good insurance, they always try to keep us. Like, they're like, what else do you need done? What else? You know?
Don't go to the state hospital. They're like, do you have our gold plan? If you don't, do you have some Medicaid?
Exactly. But yeah, I know. So anyhow, as soon as he got out, he said he went on to read the Bible like in 6 weeks, finished in 6 weeks.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, that's nutty.
So the next person is Tamara LaRue. At the age of 15, Tamara attempted to take her own life. She felt herself leave her body as she fell at an unstoppable speed and remembers entering into a space of darkness with absolutely no light. She saw a fiery pit as she took in her surroundings, screaming in complete agony. Tamara remembers seeing thousands of others around her, yet feeling a total sense of isolation. Miraculously, Tamara felt a bright light, like a light hand, carry her up to heaven, after which she found herself back in her home. She survived her attempted suicide, in which the doctors could only describe as a miracle, and has spent the remainder of her life teaching people about the reality of hell. She should be teaching anti-suicide.
Right.
You know, so what did you really learn, Tamara?
Well, so I have another nun. So Sister Josefa Menendez, she says during her short life, she recorded several experiences in hell. She says they were more like visions instead of her going to hell. Mm-hmm. And she said that her experience, she could tell detailed torture, putrid odors, demons, and a pit of fire. And so, you know, now I do believe like people have visions. You know, I do. I now the ones that are charging like $20 a pop every 5 minutes, I don't know about that. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
My vision is you're going to go to the bathroom because we ate pizza.
You're so stupid. No, I'll have to pee because of all this wine I'm drinking.
Oh, yeah. So regardless of your current religious beliefs, these stories of people like who've been to hell are pretty terrifying. Mm-hmm. If you're unsure of your beliefs like surrounding hell, I guess I would encourage you to read more.
Do your own research, you know. Don't just listen to the people that are that have Christian foundations and whatever that they're looking for.
Hell and damnation. Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting because I've read articles and we actually know people like mom. Mm. Our mom believes that Earth is hell, like that, and that's how you determine whether or not you get saved or, you know, you stay in your den. So like hell is like you'd have to go to work, you know, 7 days a week doing the same thing over and over for the rest of your life if you hate your job, you know, like kind of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I mean, there's people that truly believe that this is hell, and you determine, you know, if you're going to be good or bad. I you know, we know a lot of Christians too that there's some pretty shitty people, you know. Especially we have one that we know, and he's a cheater and everything, and him and I got into an argument about it, and he's like, I'm going to heaven. I'm like, dude, whatever, you know. Because and that's my problem, you know, with organized religion, like, you know, they do shitty stuff all week and they go one day a week and okay, I'm cleared of all evil doings, you know. No, you're still an asshole,
right? But you know, like there's I was talking with my friend, and we were talking about like multi dimensions, you know, how you know, like we're living in one dimension, but you know, like they were explaining, you know, when you have like deja vu or something, or you feel like you know somebody,
it's like
and then I was like, well, you know, like it's always explained like that's just like an intuition, you know. And this person was like, well, don't you think it's maybe like you've already lived this life?
Right. Your other self in another dimension.
Yeah. And you keep coming back because you still haven't learned your like what you're supposed to be doing or whatever. You haven't attained your goal. Mm. And I was like, well, I guess I never really thought about that. Like, I guess I mean, I was also thinking about like the multi-dimensions where people say that it's not ghosts that inhabit houses.
Right. It's dimension. You in another dimension living in your home doing different things. Isn't that crazy? I know. It's interesting when you start reading that stuff. I mean, you literally keep going into different rabbit holes. Right, like there's so much that on top of each thing, and, you know, it could just take you all night, you know, to just go through one dimension, you know, I mean, and there's supposedly so many. Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting, you know, you just don't know. You don't know. None of us do.
Right.
I mean, we all want to think we do, and a lot of people believe that their way is the only way.
Right.
But that's not the case.
Well, I guess I'm your soulmate because, you know, I kept getting
that's so funny. For those of you who have Instagram, you know, the reels, they have that one that's like, play this song and your soulmate will text you right now. So I've done it two different times now, and both times April has texted me at that point in time. I'm like, oh shit, my husband didn't even text me, my sister texted me, so she's my soulmate, you know. It's so funny, but yeah,
I've been told that more than once.
Oh shit. Now your new job, you've heard the term, don't shit where you eat,
right? Nope, they got all glass all glass office there. You can't even pick your nose. Keep my head down, my eyes on my computer.
Exactly. Do your shit. Clock out. Yeah. That's funny. Oh my god. Well, it's a pretty interesting, you know, subject, and you know, everybody believes something different. I you know, I don't think that recording was real, and I, you know, but I do believe in a hell, like a right. place where people get punished. I do.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I don't really think I'm going there. I'm too good of a person. Shut up.
Okay. I'm not either. But I wonder if there's like different levels of hell.
Right. Like, you know, like, are you VIP?
The first one, you just smell farts, you know?
Like it gets worse and worse
one,
as you go.
The second one, you smell fart and you shit yourself constantly. Like the third level, you fart, you shit yourself.
No.
And there's someone watching you.
It's going to be like that one thing you – so like you, your meals are only going to be candy corn.
Oh, God. That would be hell.
Mine's going to be sour cream and Oreos.
There's going to be anything seafood.
Oh, they're God.
Like shrimp for you.
That'll be miserable, you know. But.
They're going to do like the Gordon Ramsay and mix everything. Have you seen when he does that? Oh, yes. He makes the mix everything in. I'm like, oh, hell no. I couldn't be on that show. No. People are vomiting like,
shake. Oh, that's like the Fear Factor and all that shit. Like, I'm like, who eats that? Like, who needs money that desperately? Like, right. I can't even. It's
No, but my favorite show is Total Blackout.
Oh, that's a good show.
That's hell right there. Because you got to put your, you're in total blackness. You got to put your hand in shit.
And your mind plays tricks on you.
Yeah, your mind plays tricks on you. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I had my friend laughing, showing him the ass sniffing one.
Oh, that was such a gross episode, but it was so funny. They need to bring that show back.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
That was good. Yeah.
So anyhow, well, you know, thanks for hanging out with us this week. We'll see you again next week. And remember,
keep it creepy.